It often exists that a man will have this inner knowledge and at the same time have a knowledge of the mind which is wholly at variance with the 422. Born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, and to this mental belief be added the soul's faith. Then the doctrines will be truly stated and men will understand what is necessary to salvation. Belief and faith are not the same, one is of the mind, the other of the soul. One can and does change as phenomena and apparent facts change, the other when truly possessed, never changes, for faith possessed by a soul causes all the longings and aspirations of that soul to become things of real existence, which like the house that is built upon the solid rock can never be shaken or destroyed. I write thus tonight to show that the preacher in his sermon did not explain the true meaning of the text, and did not comprehend the truths that were intended to be conveyed of which the text was susceptible, though it did not set forth my truths of the plan for his salvation. And the mind of man, being a thing of wonderful power, can for a time retard the growth of the knowledge of the inner sense, or, as I will say, the soul sense. But only for a time, for at some time the soul sense will progress to that knowledge of the truth, so that the erroneous mind knowledge will entirely disappear, and man will possess only the truth. Of this erroneous mind knowledge, or, perhaps rather, conviction, is the belief that in my name, that is supplications made in my name, will bring about the realization of the desires of the supplicant. Also that in my blood, or in the power of the cross, or in my alleged vicarious atonement, the salvation of man can be obtained. If any name must be used in man's supplication, then use only the name of the Father, for his is a name high over all, and the only name in heaven or earth that can bring to man salvation and atonement with his being. And what I have said applies to many other declarations contained in the Bible, such as he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. There is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved, etc. This is the enunciation of a false doctrine and misleading to the great majority of mankind, for they accept the declarations as literally true. Of course, if it be interpreted as meaning that he that believeth on the truths that I teach, then the objection is not so great. But even then the declarations do not go far enough, for men may believe in these truths, and that belief may be a mere mental one, acquiesced in merely by the mind's faculties, without any exercise at all of the soul sense. If to all these declarations shall be added the vital truth, that except a man be, the Paget Messages 1916, expressions or in its literal interpretation declare the truth. I will not write more now except to say, that I love you with a great love, and pray to the Father to bless you. Believe in the Father and trust me, for you will not be disappointed. And pray that this divine love of the Father shall come into your soul so that you shall know that you are an accepted son of the Father. Keep up your courage and have faith that whatsoever things you shall ask the Father in the name of his love and truth shall be given to you. I am with you in all my love and care, and you will not be forsaken. So my dear brother, rest assured that I am your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, my dear, you have had a wonderful message from the Master tonight, and you may study and understand it thoroughly, for it contains in it more truth than you may see on a cursory reading. It is so contradictory to the beliefs of Christians and therefore so important that a knowledge of its meaning to the fullest is desirable. So, good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. September 28, 1916. I am here, Jesus. I come tonight to tell you that you are in a better condition to write than you have been for some time, and I think it best that I deliver to you a message. Well, I will write on the subject of the destiny of the man who has not the divine love in his soul, and dies with only the natural love and a belief in the creeds and dogmas of the churches. I know that many men believe that the creeds of the churches are what is necessary for the salvation of mankind, I mean as to baptism and observance of the sacraments, and the belief that in my name men may be saved, are sufficient and all that are necessary to ensure them an entrance into the kingdom of heaven, and in such belief rest, with the feeling of assurance that nothing else is required or in any way to be sought for and acquired. The large majority of professing Christians are in this state of belief, and hence the greater number of mankind will not enter the kingdom of heaven, or become in their natures divine. I have already told you what is the future of those who possess this divine nature of the Father, and now I will 423, confine my message to the future of this great majority. As you may know, the river can never run higher than its source, and neither can this majority attain to a perfection and happiness superior to that which was possessed by man before the time of the fall from the state of his perfect creation, and hence, no matter how great his progress may be in his natural love or in his moral or mental qualities, he can never exceed, the first created man as he was before the fall. And the only possible future for this vast majority is the condition and development that existed in the perfect man of God's first creation. I know it is said that man has in him that which is a part of the divinity of God, and that by his own efforts he may develop that divine substance until he becomes divine himself, and of the nature of the Father. But this is not true, and it is not possible to develop the divine love or any essence of the divine out of that which has not, that, in itself, and, there is nothing of the nature of the divine, in man. In the spirit world, and I mean the spiritual as well as celestial, laws prevail, and are just as certain in their operations as are the laws of the material world and of fundamental laws, that only like produces like. Although in the physical world it may appear that a derivative is not like that from which it is derived, but this is in appearance only, for in substance and essence the likeness exists and cannot be eradicated. And so as to the real condition of the soul of man, if he has only the natural love, the created love, the development of that love will result in that which cannot possibly be greater or other than that which in its constituent parts is only the natural love, and no matter what the perfection may become, the divine element is absent, and all the limitations that are inherent in the created being still continue to form a part of and control that being. There is a limit to the development of this natural love and to the state of happiness beyond which it is not possible for this being to go. And that limit is the qualities and excellence possessed by the first man before he became defiled and impregnated with sin. The mind of such being is also limited in the progress which it may make in obtaining knowledge, for that mind being a thing of creation is bound by the limitations that that creation imposed. So I say, such a man can never progress higher than those attributes or qualities with which he was endowed when he was the perfect man. Either, the Paget Messages 1916, spiritually or mentally, unless he seeks for and obtains the divine love. When spirits come and write that life in this spirit world is always progressive, these spirits who write, have never attained to this limit of which I speak, and hence to them progression is endless, and this belief is very beneficial, because it inspires them to make an effort to progress. There are many spirits in this perfect state in the highest sphere of natural love or mentality, but they are spirits who have been in the spirit world for a vast number of years, and are what you might call ancient spirits. These spirits have realized this limitation of which I write, and while they can change the objects of their seeking and the sources of their happiness, yet their progress has its ending, and often there comes to them dissatisfaction and a realization that over and beyond their sphere, there must be something that may be obtained, that surpasses their perfect state and development. And as a result of this dissatisfaction, many of these spirits, in moments of their unrest, give heed to the suggestions of those spirits who have become possessed of the divine essence, and upon whom, there, is no limitation of progress, for these latter spirits are at all times in the highest sphere of these spirits of perfected natural love, trying to show them the way to the higher development and happiness of the celestial spheres. It may seem surprising to you, but it is a fact, that these spirits of the natural love, during their periods of progression and especially as they make nearer approach to their perfection, in the satisfaction and happiness that they experience in that progression, will not listen to the spirits of the divine spheres, or believe that there can be any other methods of progress more desirable or excellent than the ones that they are pursuing. And only when they come to realize the dissatisfaction that I speak of, will awaken to the fact, or consent to be awakened to the fact, that there may be a way that leads to things beyond their limits of progress and the perfection that they may have acquired. So, as I say, the higher the progress of these spirits and the farther away they advance from the earth plane, the greater the difficulty in persuading them that there is a state of perfection and happiness surpassing that which they are seeking for, and a way, different from the way they are pursuing. As these spirits progress in their natural love and in the development of their created minds, much happiness and satisfaction come to them, and in each stage of progress, so much greater do 424, these experiences become, that they readily conceive that there can be no way superior to the one that they are traveling, and, hence, having such belief, the difficulty of convincing them to the contrary, becomes almost insurmountable. As a consequence, the spirits of the celestial spheres and those of the spirit spheres, who are progressing in the divine love, give the greater part of their time and efforts to convincing spirits of these higher truths while they are in the earth planes, before the happiness that I mention is experienced. The life on earth and that in the earth planes of the spirit world are the states in which the souls of mortals and of spirits have the best opportunities for learning and believing these truths that show them the way to the progression that is without limitation or ending, and hence, the importance of men knowing these truths, and of spirits also, before they experience the satisfaction and pride, I may say, that the advancement in the development of their natural love and mental and moral qualities gives them, until the time comes when the Father shall withdraw from man and spirit the privilege of obtaining this divine love and essence, which time will bring the second death, these spirits and all spirits and mortals will have the opportunity of seeking for and finding the way to the celestial spheres and immortality. But after that time this privilege will no longer exist, and then those spirits and mortals who have not found and followed the way of that privilege, will be and become only the perfect beings, as were their first parents. They will have no assurance of immortality, or even continuous life, and that dissatisfaction and longing for something unknown, will be theirs. They will remain only the created beings in spirit body, soul and mind, and as the first parents had all the qualities that these restored men will have, and fell, and why may it not be that they will fall, or, that there may come some change in the individualized spirit that will destroy that individuality and dissolve it into its elements of pre-creation. No spirit knows that such a change will take place, that the perfect spirit will not always retain the same individuality, or that the happiness of such spirit will not always exist. And neither does any spirit know that these things will continue to be. Then why should he not choose that course which leads to divinity and certainty of immortality and progress, rather than the one which leads to limitation of progress and happiness, and to uncertainty of immortality? The Paget Messages 1916, I have written enough for tonight. I will come again soon. So remember that I love you and am with you trying to help you spiritually and that I pray to the Father to bless you. Good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. September 30, 1916. I am here, John. I desire to finish my message and hope that you are in condition to receive it. Well, as I was writing about the future or destiny of the soul that has not experienced the new birth, I will continue where I left off. When the soul becomes wholly purified and restored to that condition of perfection that was possessed by the first parents before the fall, it continues to live a life of happiness and contentment, until it realizes that its possibility of further progress, either mentally, morally or spiritually, has come to an end, that it has reached its limit of advancement, and that the happiness that it then enjoys is the full complement of what it may obtain or possess. This condition is one which satisfies the large majority of those who have reached the state of the fully restored man, and they are content to live the life of such perfection, and rest in the assurance that there is no greater happiness or more desirable condition existing in the universe of God. But with some of these souls, this state does not bring or contain this complete satisfaction, and in them continues the desire for more and greater progress, but they realize that they have reached the limit of their progress, and that they must continue to live in that state which holds for them the happiness and delight of being perfect and atone with the Father, as was intended by him when man was created the perfect being. But notwithstanding this knowledge, that as the soul develops in its natural love and in its moral and mental faculties to the finality of limitation, there can be nothing beyond, yet there comes to them a dissatisfaction, and, as it were, a negative unhappiness that causes unrest, and a conscious desire for something, they know not what. It may be that the memory of something they heard in their progress through the spheres, or an imperfect suggestion of some unconscious, reproduced, dormant memory, inherited from their first parents, of the great gift of endless progress potentially bestowed upon God's first created beings, and forfeited, that causes the discontent and longings for something beyond the condition of their perfect state. 425. When this state of mind and soul comes to them, then they are susceptible to the teachings and help of those spirits who have in their souls the divine love, and knowledge that there is a way that leads to everlasting progress without limit or possibility of reaching the end. And many of these perfected souls in their natural love have followed the advice of these immortal spirits, and have left the high sphere of their perfection and entered the lower soul spheres of the spiritual heavens, and sought and found the new birth of the soul, and progressed from sphere to sphere until they reached the celestial heavens, where they are still progressing and realizing a contentment never marred, but always accompanied with the knowledge that ever beyond are spheres of greater happiness of truth and knowledge. But, as I say, the larger, yes, much large number of souls that have been born unto men will find and rest, in the future, in the state and happiness of the restored first parents. It should not be necessary for me to attempt to make the application of the truths which I have written to the desires and wills of men, for the vital importance of making the choice between the future of the divine spirit, and that of the perfected man, is so apparent, that scarcely any mortal, who is not the man that says in his heart there is no God, needs another to apply for him the lesson taught. And I will say in closing that such lesson contains the truths that actual observation and knowledge have made certain. Speculation does not enter into it, and the possibility of error or mistakes is utterly eliminated. I have written enough and will stop for tonight. You have received the message very satisfactorily and I am pleased. So with my love and blessings, I will say good night, and God bless you with His love. Your brother in Christ, John, October 1, 1916. I am here, Elias. I was the prophet of old and now I am an inhabitant of the celestial heaven and an immortal child of the Father. I have been present on several occasions when the high spirits were writing to you, and have been much interested in the work which they are doing and in the work which you are doing, for you are doing a wonderful work in helping the dark spirits of suffering, and in bringing these spirits in close communion with the higher spirits who can show them the way to the Father's love. The Paget Messages 1916. I would like to write you a long message tonight upon the history of the times in which I lived, and the knowledge that we, who were looked upon and written about as prophets, had as to the relationship between God and man, and what some of our experiences were with the spirits of the heavens who came to us and communicated some of the truths of the Father. And I will say, in all our knowledge of truth, we never understood what the divine love of the Father was as distinguished from the love that He bestowed on all men irrespective of their seeking for His love, and irrespective of the fact that they were sinful and disobedient to His commands. As I now know, we could not have understood what this divine love meant, or ever have possessed it, for in my time and until the coming of Jesus, the privilege of men receiving it did not exist. The Father had withdrawn this privilege from humanity. But we did receive spiritual knowledge of those things that would make man better in his moral nature, and bring him closer to the Father in his natural love, and our efforts were directed towards making the people understand these things and the necessity of complying with the moral laws. As I said, I should like to write you a long message, but there is another present who desires to write and I will stop. But I will come soon and deliver my message. And in the meantime I will pray for you and try to help you in your soul development and in your work. With all my love and blessings I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Elias. I am here, Saint John. I come tonight to write a few truths upon the subject of the preacher's, Dr. Gordon's, sermon, as I was present with you and heard his declarations as to the end of the world. I know that among men there are, and have been since the time of the Master, differences in opinion as to when this important event is to take place, and as to the meaning of the end of the world. Well, men know just about as much now as to the time of this event as they have known all down the centuries, and understand the meaning of these prophecies as well as did men from my day down to the present. In the first place, I will say, there will be no end of the world from any of the causes mentioned by the preacher. And in the next place, there will be no end of the world at all as understood and declared by the orthodox preachers, and as is expected by most of the professing Christians. The world, meaning the earth, will not have an end in the sense of annihilation, but it will continue to revolve on its axis, and to have seed time and harvest, and produce and reproduce those things that are necessary to sustain human life, and have its appropriate seasons of heat and cold, and move along in its orbit as it now does, until some change, we know not of now, may come and destroy it. But such change, not any of the prophecies of the Bible, admitting that there are prophecies, can apply to the end of the world in the sense that the preacher understood and declared. If humanity would only understand that the world that was lost by the disobedience of the first parents, was the world of man's immortality and happiness and not the physical world, and that Jesus came to declare the restoration of that world upon condition, and the end of that restoration, then would they know that the material world is not involved in the plan of man's salvation, or in Jesus' mission, or in the declarations of Jesus as to the coming of the end. Men will continue to be born, live a short time and die the physical death, and as to each individual man the end of the material world comes when he dies, for, thereafter, his habitation will be in the spirit world, and nevermore will he have life on earth. All men at some time will have to die the physical death, then why should it be necessary to include in the plan of God for the salvation of men the destruction of the material world? For planets and worlds and stars to crash together and destroy, would mean that the orderly workings of God's laws must be interfered with, in order that men might be destroyed or saved, according as they might be snatched up into the air, or left to their own weakness on earth. Such interpretations of God's intentions, or plans or of Jesus coming again to earth, is all wrong and absurd. Jesus will never come to establish his kingdom on earth and reign as Prince of Peace and Lord of Lords, for the kingdom which he and all his followers, both on earth and in the spirit world, are seeking to establish is in the celestial heavens, and it is the kingdom of God, not made with hands or by the mere fiat of any spirit no matter how high he may be, but made and populated by the souls of men who have experienced the new birth and received the divine essence of the Father. Of this kingdom Jesus is the Prince, but only because of his great and exceeding possession, 426, the Paget Messages 1916, of the divine love of the Father, and his more perfect atonement. Jesus is not seeking to establish a kingdom on earth, but is working for the purpose of leading men to the new birth of the Spirit, and of showing them the way to the celestial kingdom, and also is he working to help men by his love and suggestions, and so also the other good spirits, to cast sin and error from their hearts, and strive to regain the condition of perfect manhood in the perfection of their natural love, and also to help men to get in this condition of soul regeneration, or in that of the purification of their natural love while they yet live on earth, so that love to God in the divine sense, and love to God in the created sense and brotherly love will cover the whole earth, and men be at peace and happy while yet clothed in the flesh. Such a condition of mortal existence may be called the kingdom of God on earth, but it will not be the kingdom which Jesus came to earth to establish, that is the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom has its seat and abiding place in the celestial spheres whence it will never be removed. So then, when the Bible teaches of the world coming to an end and passing away, it does not mean the material world, but the world of men's thoughts and deeds and sinful conditions that are not in harmony with God's laws or the laws of his creation. This is the world that shall be destroyed when righteousness shall cover the earth as the waters do the deep, and brotherly love reign among men. Even today there are some men living on the earth that are so separated from the world, that is to them the world has no existence, not the material world, but the world of sin and unrighteousness, which is the only world to be destroyed. There shall be wars and rumors of wars and times of trouble etc. such as never were, and then shall come the end. Not the wars of the cannon's roars or the bursting shells or the mutilated flesh, or the making of widows and orphans or the ruthless changing of mortals into spirits, but the wars of the spirits of good and evil, of love and hate, of purity and sin, of joy and despair, and of knowledge of truth and belief in error, all to be fought in the souls of men with such intensity and earnestness, creating such mind and spirit trouble as never has been, and causing rumors thereof to flood the earth and the habitations of men. Then shall come the end of the world of evil and sin and despair, and hatred and belief in error. This world shall pass away, and truth and love and 427, peace and goodwill shall be established on the earth forever. The earth of this present day, then becoming to men so peaceful and filled with love and brotherly kindness, that to them it will seem as if a city of God had been let down from heaven onto earth. Let mortals know that Jesus has already come to earth and is among men, and that since the time of his becoming the prince of the celestial kingdom he has been with men and spirits, teaching them the way, the truth and the life. By the Holy Spirit of the truths of the Father spoken to men as a still small voice, and by the communions of souls has the Master led men to the love and mercy of the Father. As in my time when he came to the Jews with his message of love and life eternal, they knew him not and rejected him, so now many men and spirits too, refuse to listen to him and learn the way through the straight gate to the Father's love and immortality. Let men study the prophecies and the times and the seasons, and calculate the time of the end, and predict the near approach of the Master's coming in the clouds, and prepare themselves to be snatched up in the air and become of the heavenly hosts. Yet they will find that all these things are vanities of vanities, and only as each individual passes beyond the veil of flesh will he realize the end of his mortal world has come, and then will all his speculations as to himself become realities, and the certainty of the world's end become an established fact. But men will continue to live on earth and die, and in succession others be born to die, and so on until, only God knows. So I say to men, prepare not for the passing away of the heavens and the earth, but for the passing of themselves from the earth to the great world of spirits. And remember, that as they sow, so shall they reap, a certainty that is never changed, a truth that no speculation can make untrue. The end of man's world comes each day to some mortal, and that end may lead to a glorious immortality, or to a temporary or a long darkness and suffering. Thus are the prophecies being fulfilled, and the speculations of preachers and teachers and leaders of the unthinking are robbing men of the vital truth that the end of the world is coming each moment and day and year. O preacher and teacher and leader, your responsibility is great, and the accounting must be made. The reaping must follow the sowing as certainly as the day follows the night. And what will, the Paget Messages 1916, your harvest be? The end of the world for some mortal is the important now. I have written enough for tonight as you are tired. So believe that I love you and am praying for the Father to bless you, and to so fill your soul with his love, that when the world comes to an end for you, you shall find the kingdom of heaven waiting to receive you. Good night. Your brother in Christ, John. October 4, 1916. I am here, Paul. Yes, I come tonight to write you upon a subject that may be of interest to you and important to all mankind. If you are in condition to receive my message, I will write. Well, the subject is, what is the real body that is resurrected at the time of the physical death? Of course there will be but one resurrection, and that takes place at the time the mortal becomes an inhabitant of the spirit world. There will never be what is called a general resurrection of the dead, for the mortal can die only once, I mean in a physical sense. In order to live in the spirit realms, it is necessary that he have a spirit body that preserves the identity of his individuality, and having this body, and never having been without it after the soul is incarnated in the earthly body, and not needing an additional body, there is no possibility of another resurrection, or of another body being added to the one that the soul already has. The body that dies when the man ceases to be immortal disintegrates into its elements, and never again do these elements form the same body that becomes decayed, and hence it is impossible for that body to be resurrected. The only body that is ever resurrected is the body that encloses the soul of the mortal at the time he gives up the earth life. I know that many believe that when the man dies, his conscious existence ceases, and he becomes, as it were, dead in body, soul and spirit, that although the physical body decays and returns to dust or ashes, yet the soul and spirit in some mysterious and unexplainable manner, continues to exist as an unthinking sleeping entity, not subject to sensation or activity, and so remains until the great day of judgment or of Christ's coming, when, in response to the summons, it arouses itself, answers the summons, and again becomes clothed in the body which it possessed while in the human form.